D3. Number 6B.
Revelation seems to become quite a big subject in the world. In my times when I went to the university, the term revelation was never heard. And woe to him at the university who would speak about revelation. Only perhaps the theological faculty was allowed to speak of revelation in the university, but no one other. Because all new research or all new findings were the result of arduous seeking, arduous work, adding to find out something. Today, the natural scientists begin to realize that there is another way than just that arduous research in order to arrive at new insight, revelation, enlightenment, whatever they may call it. They begin to realize that most of their important discoveries they have made were not made when they were searching. That they were not made then when they were sitting in their study and working up through days and weeks and months to the point where they come nearer to the truth and then they find it. But they have found that the biggest discovery they have made when they were not thinking about the subject, and that it came through quite different symbolisms and through analogies and through what the psychologists call a law of synchronicity, that they have found great truth. That another way of finding truth is open to men, revelation. And that they find that they should investigate how revelation comes about. And today, when one speaks with the young people at college, at university, for them it is quite natural that really revelation is the way. And that revelation is really the way of how the one truth should come to them. That they know that they have everything within themselves. That everything just has to be brought out from themselves and not taught to them, not pounded into them, but that there is all there, that one truth is bringing forth infinite truth, and that it is ever present and at hand. And so we can see today, also as Christian scientists, that we are seeing the right sense of revelation, because most Christian scientists have had that attitude that Mrs. Eddy was the revelator and the only revelator, and that was the end of revelation. And that all what we little kiddies can do is to look at that revelation. That's not Christian Science. She says in that marvelous chapter, the sixth chapter, truth is a revelation. Truth. She didn't say the Bible is a revelation. She didn't say the textbook is a revelation. She said truth is a revelation. Well, if truth is a revelation, then we jolly well can see that truth, because it is infinitely revealing itself, is infinitely revealing itself to us, to everyone. That really what Mrs. Eddy gave, you see, was not a revelation. She gave the revelation that we are the revelation. That's what she wanted to put over to us. She didn't want to put over to us that she had a revelation and that nobody else had a revelation. But the revelation she had was to reveal that truth is a revelation and that we are the revelation. If principle and idea is one, then truth and idea is one, then revelation and revelator are one. And so, if we would open consciousness and find that this is really the teaching of Christian Science, that each one is at the point of being revealed by truth, and therefore being the very revelation of truth, then our consciousness would hardly be able to encompass what constantly comes to us. I could use 20 secretaries and dictate them a whole year, it wouldn't be enough to tell them what I see. Fundamental things, not just tiny little things. Why? Everyone that sees the impersonality of truth and the law of truth sees that we are truth in operation, therefore revelation in operation. For heaven's sake, accept it, accept it, accept it, accept it, accept it. And then we are it. So the law of truth is that big law of revelation. I think the time comes, see, and the natural scientists help, because they are no more so dead against the way of revelation. For the first time I saw that breaking was really when I read Dunois' book on human destiny, where he begins his book and says there are two ways to truth. The one is the slow way of reasoning and logic, and the second way is revelation. Now, natural science has taken the first way very serious and has come to see that there is another way. And they investigate it. They begin to investigate how revelation comes about. And the moment they do that, they touch the science of being, the science of truth, the laws of truth. And so within us that must break down. I know so well that as a young student of Christian Science, I would never have dreamt that any one of us could have a revelation. That was the unique thing of some prophets and some big spiritual seers, one in a thousand years. Why? If it is a law, then it is a law which applies every moment to everywhere, to every situation. It's just a matter of accepting that new standpoint, instead of closing one's mentality to it. What are the laws of love? Those divine laws of love, which Mrs. Eddy speaks. I think it just shows those laws of perfection, the laws of divine achievement, that really love has its own law to achieve its own purpose. It's the law of complete integration. It's that love which is at work to take everything and guide it and guide it and lead it and channelize it and channelize it in order to integrate everything into one. I think we live in that period in the whole world for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years where we just witness more and more that whole integration of beings. One world, one nation, one mankind, and feel that this is really not a human achievement, but the divine idea at work, the divine idea as the law of love at work. It's the law which is teleological, therefore not blind to the future, which has a great aim, which steers towards a great aim, which guides everything towards a great aim. It's purposeful. It's the law of divine purpose. And we can see that Christian Science put purpose into science. This is the great difference between all other sciences. Natural science has a principle, but it has no purpose. Purpose, aim, motive, does not enter into classical scientific thinking. It's all objective, and it has therefore no element neither of human subjectivity nor of divine subjectivity. Therefore, it does not ask when it discovers something, is it in line with the divine plan? Has it the divine purpose? And that's the reason why all these sciences just don't make the grade. They just can't fulfill man's purpose, man's satisfaction. They can't be a savior to the world. With every new science, we have new problems. But the science of being, Christian science, has the law of love, the law which has a teleological aim. It drives towards the point of salvation. So here are those big laws of life, truth, and love. Now we can see how they differ so much from what we have found as life, truth, and love on the level of divine science. The level of divine science we had as life, the law of ever-presence. Well, in the ever-presence there is no need for newness of life. If there is ever-presence, self-existence, there is no need for newness of life. Can you see that? It's a completely different law. The moment we come to absolute Christian science, namely to that point where our seeking thought has to be satisfied, then the law of life becomes the law of spontaneity, the law of newness, where everything new appears, and always new appears, and always new appears. See, it gives therefore that relationship between truth and its idea. In divine science we had that one truth, truth itself, as the law, and now here in absolute Christian science, truth now is shown as the self-revealing truth. Truth itself doesn't have to reveal itself because it is conscious of itself as a whole. It's conscious of itself as a whole. So in divine science, truth does not even need a revelation. But it comes to human consciousness, that's absolute Christianity, comes to human consciousness as the absolute fact and revealing what that one truth is. Terrific. Or you have that one love in divine science, really as that law of self, of being self-fulfilled, where everything is fulfilled. But the moment it is showing itself forth to human consciousness, it comes to us as the absolute fact that that one law of being self-fulfilled comes to us as fulfilling, achieving, consummating, everything, every detail. Can you see why it is fruitless to argue what is true? The one says, life is ever-presence, doesn't need anything new. The other says, but Mrs. Eddy speaks of the newness of life and the spontaneity of life and the multiplication of life. They are completely two different questions. And they touch two different stratas of consciousness. And both are necessary for us. We can't say only one is right and the only thing. All are necessary in order to enlighten human consciousness. So with that established in thought, what these laws of life, truth and love are, we can now easily understand those combinations which we have. Mrs. Eddy uses in her textbook so often a combination of life, truth and love. You have noticed that. Many, many times she speaks life, truth and love does this and this and this. So often she would speak that truth, life and love is this and this and this. Did she vary them just because of literal, nicer language? of changing the language, or did she mean something specific with it? Naturally, she meant something specific with it. And you can hear that, spiritually hear that very clearly. When she speaks here in the word as life, truth and love, I put the stress on the first one of life, truth and love. She means that in being there is something going on constantly, which says that's the law of life, I am the constant impulsion of life, the constant urge of life, I am the constant creative sense of life. I project constantly something new. Can you hear the tone of life, which says, I create constantly something new. And that which I create is fact. Truth is factual. Is a real fact. Is true. And those real facts which I bring forth are already at the point of perfection, love. Can you hear the tone, the synonymous terms, life, truth, love? Life here, in that sense of drive, of the urge, of the impulsion, of the creative force, the projecting force, where you feel every moment something new is going to happen. But that which is going to happen new is truth, is something true, and is already complete love. Now, if we hear that, you see, if we hear that, accept it. Just try it out. You know, as Christian Scientists, we must, like Mrs. Eddy, be experimenters. She always experimented. She experimented with the patients, with their friends and so on. She always tried out. Try it out. Take it once on trust from me that I have tried it out. Try it out for a whole winter. And whenever you can think of it, during the whole day, whenever there is a split second or 2 seconds where you can think, just establishing consciousness, that tune which says, you know, being itself is constantly of the nature of the impulsion of life, the newness of life, it's bringing newness of life to every situation and every moment. It's the multiplication of life, always that new sense of life. And that is the truth about you. It's right about you. That is adapted. It's fulfilled, and it's complete. Trust it. Accept it. Accept that tune with you. As you just go around in the streets and in the buses and over in the car and in the doing your kitchen work and so on, and just have that tune in consciousness, which says, be still. I am God. I am being. I am principle, I am being. And the only life, the one life. But that one life comes to you constantly as the constant impulsion of life, the constant urge of life, the constant projection of new ideas of life. And they are the facts which you need. They are factual. These are the facts which constitute your being. And they are complete and fulfilled. Accept that consciousness. And you will see, I bet everything, if you try to that and stay with that, you will feel a completely new sense of being after a few weeks, perhaps already after a few days. But go on, and it stays with you, and it stays with you. Then you don't have to make meditations in order to call down the infinite presence at one future time and have a mystical experience. Then you are it. Then you don't want to have anything in your heart but just that hum going on. Constantly there is one life, the infinite life, coming to each one of us in an individual way, in a completely individual way, pouring forth more than what we can accept, pouring forth the newness of life, and what it is pouring forth, we can hold it in our heart and say, this is the truth which I need, this is the very thing which I need. And I'm not asking if I feel it is right or if I don't feel it is right. I accept that it is right, and that truth will do right without being reminded of it. And that is already in a state of completion. Nothing is lacking to that. That's just perfect. Keep that consciousness. So, in the practice of the Christian Science, one could take this and just see that we don't have to work out the problem. That we don't have to feel that we should improve our human situation, that we have to make a demonstration. Then we feel the demonstration lies in this, that we let life, truth and love happen within us, that we let life, truth and love be our demonstration, and that we let it be. And there we get that what already the Bible has tried to show us in the days of creation, when God said, let there be light. And he made the light, and the light was perfect. Life, truth and love. Let there be light. And he made it, became factual truth, and it was perfect love. And each day, in those days of creation, you have those three tones running through it, from the absolute standpoint. So, that practice which says, I'm not going to improve the mortal. I'm not going to take any situation which I feel is wrong, which I feel is disharmonious and painful, and I try to put it straight. This would try to improve the mortal until the mortal is okay again. Here in Absolute Christian Science, I turn away from the whole problem. As much, as often as I can, and as often anything comes into consciousness, I just put it away and say, it's no good anyway to think about any evil. But it's very good to think about that which is actually going on. And that which is actually going on, and the only thing that is actually going on, is that constant impulsion of the law of life and truth and of love. And the measure we accept it, without having any specific knowledge what it will do to us, its individual expression we do not know, and we shouldn't even ask about it. We should just be as open to let the infinite possibilities to have a chance. Then life, truth and love come into our life and begin to work in our life, and they bring forth something which surpasses all our dreams. This is really accepting the practice of life, truth and love. See, there is no penalty in it. There is no asking to reform in it. Reformation is nice, it's true, it's all right for those who cannot rise themselves in consciousness. They must reform. They must try like hell to be better. But the spiritual seer, the spiritual consciousness, goes out from the scientific facts of being. And the scientific facts of being are that there is nothing going on but God. But life, truth and love, every moment new, every instant bringing forth something new, a new form which is complete. That's the form of love. I think that's beautiful. I think it's gorgeous. I think It takes away all those thousand-year-old religious beliefs to have to suffer for what we have been doing in the past. I don't like to suffer, I tell you. I don't like it. No, I just don't like it. So, I like to have another method. I like to see what we will see afterwards, that life, truth, and love work in spite of me. In spite of my character, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of what I have done right, that life, truth, and love work in spite of that. They don't care about it. I nearly began to swear again. So, they don't take notice of it. Life, truth, and love just have no knowledge of what I'm suffering. So, it's no use to try to convince God that I'm suffering. He never believes it. So I give up. I say, all right, I rather like to be with it. And to be with it. To be with it, in spiritual science, is to be with the law of life, truth, and love. And to go with it. Now I think I have to stop here.